was so thrilled to see your chicken sandwich tonight.
Oh my God. Well, I have three Instagram accounts now, so it's, I didn't realize I was on that one.
Three? What's your third?
My third one, I'm trying to transfer over everybody that I follow on TikTok so I can get off of there to Instagram for as many of them that have Instagram, because I'm just trying to delete it, but it's kind of taking a minute.
Yeah.
I don't want to stay on there, but like, it's really helpful to stay on there, but the algorithm and the things that are blocked is not good.
Yeah, I cold turkey just deleted Twitter off my phone. I haven't deleted my account, which I probably should. But there's stuff on there I should probably go and like save and
find
people like you are. I didn't do it the smart way. I was just like, if I stay on this app one more day, I'm going to hate myself. So, yeah.
Yeah. What's it called? Twitter, I'm like, I want to, but I don't think I can right now. as much as it makes me crazy, it's also keeping me somewhat sane. I think if I didn't know anything, I'd be worse.
I downloaded a news app. I was like, I need to be better about getting my news from not social media.
You know where I get my news? I get the Skim. It's in my email every day. Mm-hmm. It comes in at like 5 or 6 a.m. in the morning, and it's just a really great, or even like the New York Times email is like a really good like newsletter, and it gives you everything you need. The Skim is a little bit better because it's like not just one news outlet that they reference. It's like so many different kinds. It's more just like anything. Mm-hmm. And then it's very basic information. Like they give you like the headline and then like a little bit of a paragraph. And then if you want to read more, then it gives you the link to read more. And I like that just because if it's ever made a lot of information at once, it's going to like make me anxious.
Right.
But I like that it's really just a skim of the news so I can like go in and bookmark further if I need to.
Well, I was trying to look for like specific news outlets that were like a little bit more clear cut. So like ProPublica, NPR is not doing well. So no NPR.
I downloaded the Associated Press, the AP.
AP is a little bit more neutral, yeah. So, I'm just following a couple so that I don't go crazier.
Right. Yeah, but I just have that. And I, for now, have the notifications on. I haven't played around with the app too much to see if I can, like, tailor what I'm
being fit. Yeah.
I'm sure I can. I just haven't done it yet. It's only been like a week. So,
yeah.
Still new.
Yeah, that's fair. There's a lot going on everywhere. I feel like, you know, I feel like when I talk in a sing-songy voice, I'm doing the same like tune that Crystal does when she does it.
Okay.
So sometimes when I do it, I'll be doing it like not, you know, when I'm talking to you guys and I'm like, oh, look, Crystal.
You're channeling Crystal.
Crystal.
You didn't ruin you. I love it.
I don't know. That was cute. Well, hello, friends. Welcome back. It's another episode of our Conversations with Oscar series of the 97th Academy Awards. We are here to give our prudent, insightful, and very unfiltered thoughts. I'm your host, Joy.
I'm Anna.
And I'm Crystal.
And today, we're talking about Emilia Perez, that follows four remarkable women in Mexico, each pursuing their own happiness. A cartel leader, Emilia, enlists Rita, an unappreciated lawyer, to help fake her death that she can live authentically as her true self. Emilia Perez was nominated for 13 Oscars, including, of course, Best Picture, lead actress for Carla Sofia Gascon, supporting actress Zoe Saldana, director Jacques Audiard, adapted screenplay, Jacques Audiard, in collaboration with Thomas Biedergain, Leah Mises, and Nicholas Levici. International feature, cinematography for Paul Guillaume, Film editing, Juliet Wolfing. Makeup and hairstyling, Julia Flotch Carbonell, Emmanuel Janivier, and Jean-Christophe Spandinici. Original score by Clement Ducol and Camille. Original song, two songs, El Mal, written by Clement Ducol, Camille, and Jacques Aldard. Original song, Mi Camino, Clement Ducol and Camille. Best sound for Erwin Kreserzant, Aymeric de Voldare, Maz, and
you got Carol all the fun Holt ones.
And Niels Barletta. This is Emilia Perez. Man, that was a tongue twister. But my friends, how do we feel about Emilia Perez? Please tell me.
I feel so good about it, like so positive, and just really happy that we're gonna have this conversation. I just feel like not enough people are talking about this film and the importance of it. And I'm just really thrilled to be having that conversation with my two best friends.
Oh my God, I'm so excited.
When you say Emilia Perez, I think that's what I think of. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I don't even have words. I just have like sounds like, ugh, like, the way I feel about this film is me going through that list of like 30 French people names. That's how I feel. Like, if you can't be bothered to fucking do research about Mexico in 2020 fucking four, when you have an internet, you have a plane that can get you there, you have people you can talk to, I'm not going to bother you learn your fucking names. So fuck
and
you. Then,
and yeah, I mean, why would he bother to research? We should say the director didn't ever research, because he thinks it's a language of poor people anyway.
Beach, the things coming out of this man's mouth. The things coming out of the mouths of everyone who works on this film.
The drama on this movie is way better than the actual movie. Like,
yes.
Where's the true Hollywood story about this movie? Because it's way more riveting than anything I saw on the screen in regards to this movie. Like,
girl, every tweet I kept reading was just like worse and worse and worse. And I don't, and someone mentioned this, that I don't think people that can't really read Spanish don't understand to the full, the severity of the diction and the language that she was using when in some of these tweets. I feel like translated, it's like an easy translation, but in Spanish, like they sound even worse.
Yeah, like, can you imagine if it sounds terrible translated through Google, how the actual, like, yikes.
Yeah. Yikes. Yeah, exactly. And like the one thing I couldn't figure out, even though it was said, it was mentioned, but it was never confirmed by the director or the writers, that they just did it all in French and put it in Google Translate, because that's basically what this movie sounds like.
That's what they did to me. Yeah.
So, all right, where do I start? Okay, I have a list. Okay, so let me start this off with this. Representation on its own is not immune to criticism. Mm-hmm. We can be happy that we have representation for whatever marginalized community that we're talking about, but it's not immune to criticism, especially and in particularly when it's not coming from someone of that community, or you don't involve people of that community. So not having any trans person in your writing group, or in the screenplay, not having not one Mexican person or person of at least Latin descent in your team,
at least
no consulting. This, we should not be, it's not 2005. We shouldn't be asking for the bare minimum. Like, this is, we had the Danish girl already. So like that, I'm sorry, but like, that's the only thing, I could compare it to is like the Danish girl was like, oh my God, riveting, and Eddie Redmayne and whatever. Okay. So we finally got a trans person playing a trans person, but yeah, like.
Who won the Oscar for that movie? Alicia Vikander.
All right,
I remember thinking, this movie is beautiful, but why am I sympathizing with the wife? Like that's missing the plot so bad. But that's that movie. Yeah, I agree. I think this idea of like, oh, I don't need to research because I'm a... No, that's not a mentality that should have ever been. But it was much more common back in the day. I think now it's much easier, like you said, to get information. And we've said this before about, you know, white people writing black stories, things of that. And it's the same thing, you know, involve the people who you're talking about in your process and you will have a better movie. That's just, it's not that hard. It's really like I know nothing. And I said this about the Danish girl. I know nothing of the trans experience. But neither does this movie. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
It's almost dangerous that they're putting this out there with this like misinformation, because I don't know a lot. And if I didn't know any better to do my own research, I'd think that like this was okay. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like, it's almost like doing more harm than good, which I've said that about several other things we've talked about. But problems all the way around.
I also just want to know why. In God's name, did they think that this needed to be a musical?
Yeah, exactly.
I think they were bored.
Look,
they're like, I honestly feel like they wanted to make it a musical, or they halfway through decided to make it a musical, so they're like went backtrack. Like it just seems so out of whack, or maybe they wanted to make it a sing through and then like gave up at the middle. I don't know, but it felt like a weird choice, and they were like, well, how can we make this different? A musical.
And what baffled me was like, okay, you have your sung through musicals, which are fine, and that it definitely had that feeling in the beginning, but then it would switch to like a different type of musical, and I just like pick one lane of musical to be in, because you're right now you're like swerving all over the musical spectrum and it's terrible. But then also like my thought just ran away from me. Oh, no, I said, I come from, two episodes ago, you asked me who my personal Lisan Al-Ghaib would be, and I said Stephen Sondheim. So I come from the school of musicals not having to have catchy, specifically, like, the rhymings can be unique and different and hidden. Right. Like, I'm from that camp. I believe in that. But there is not one song in here that's hummable, that's, you know, that sticks with you, that makes you think, wow, that was a good song.
Very forgettable. Very forgettable.
Forgettable.
The only one, and it's only because I could not escape it on Twitter, and because it's such a, like, bastardization of, like, what a movie musical could be, is the one where she's going in to do the research about, how do I transition?
Oh, right. The vaginoplasty.
From man to woman, woman to man, which also, like, I'm not the most, like, musically adept person, and, like, I don't know how to read notes or whatever, but it felt like all the emphasis was on the wrong parts, on the wrong parts of the phrase, and not on the beat, and, like, not in, like, an inventive, like, cool Sondheim way, but in, like, a, we don't know this language, so we don't know where the emphasis should be, which you don't even need to know the language, because, like, I think the three of us as like music lovers, we can enjoy music that either doesn't have words or has words in other languages that we don't understand. It can be done well, but this movie was just like, why not? Just
Because there. The lyrics were ridiculous, first of all, but even I'm not a lyrics person naturally. So like, I don't even hear them first. they were so hard to miss. And I was like, oh, this is a problem. I mean, if you just take it lyrically and it's just music, the music is very simple. Like, yeah. You have to make this exciting. There has to be, like, if you don't have a lot of, like, going on in the music, you need to make the exciting part maybe in your voice, or, like, where you decide to pause, or where you decide to, like you said, enunciate, or, like, I don't know, like, do a little special run or something. Like, give us something. But, like, everything was just, like, nothing.
The only song I felt was semi-decent, and I was like, if this was more about, the movie was more like this, I wouldn't hate it as much, was Desco, the one where Manitas is telling Zoe Saldana about how he longs to be her. That was, they're in the bus or whatever. That one I was like, this I could kind of get behind, just a little bit. There's something here. It's not the best, but there's something here.
Like, it wanted to have a thought, but it just didn't know what the thought was. Because even, like, we're supposed to sympathize with this person. This movie is trying so hard to make us sympathize with Emilia. And whether pre or post-transition. But, like, we don't know. We're not really hearing anything from Emilia's perspective. There was, like, two songs that she really sang, or maybe three. And, like, the most of everything else was for Zoe Saldana.
Yeah, the supporting actress, quote unquote.
Yeah, this girl, the category bullshit. Fraud. The category fraud. The fraud. Just the fraud.
The fraud, yeah.
But, like, you don't really get to see, like, her perspective as, like, someone who's transitioned. Like, you get a little glimpse of it when she meets up with Zoe Saldana again. But, like, there's not enough, we don't really go enough into her story. And this is supposed to be, supposedly, about her, because she's Emilia Perez.
And that's a shame, because, like, initially I was like, okay, like, a drug cartel lord, like, wanting to transition, very interesting. You know, there could have been a really good commentary on, like, the machismo of what it is to be a Mexican male, especially in a position that he's in, and what it means to be your true self, and how, you know, it would have been such a really great setup, and then, like, it wasn't. It just got progressively worse to me.
I also want to know where in that that brilliant song that told us about how transition works, where was the skin bleaching? Because she went from Manitas having dark skin to Emilia Perez having some light-ass skin. So I feel like the skin bleaching would have been the most painful part.
Girl, the amount of things this movie did not explain while also giving us a list of 100 surgeries, baffling. Absolutely baffling. Like, in the hands of, like, a educated, complex person, yeah, there's parts of the story that could have been really interesting. But at the same time, like, Jax Audiard has no fucking idea what the fuck has happened in Mexico in the last 20, 30 years. Has no fucking clue, like, about the cartel or the disappearances or the murders. Because clearly, like, oh, apparently, oh, yeah. How am I supposed to feel sympathy for this person that, like, has gone through and done the horrible, violent murder things that they've done? And then, like, oh, yeah, like, I had a coming of heart, or like, a come to Jesus moment. And, like, now I've turned a new leaf. But I'm going to find these people that I probably killed. Like, that doesn't make any fucking sense. That doesn't make any sense. And the story didn't make it make sense. Like, I don't think France or this bitch or, like, whoever was writing this understands, like, the cartel and the situation in Mexico for the last, at least, especially in particular, the last 20 years. It's not fucking funny. Like, it's serious. And the people of Mexico know that because they have to deal with it every fucking day. Like, people randomly being, you know, murdered or disappeared or whatever. Like, did he not read the news? Like, did he not? He clearly did not research. And I know he told us this, but it makes me so mad because it's so fucking, it's so fucking offensive. You have no idea the amount of people, the amount of, like, just, like, Mexican people or, like, Mexican journalists or, like, Mexican people with podcasts who were talking about how, like, you don't know shit about us. Like, you don't know anything. Like, you didn't even bother. Like, people's families have died. People have gone missing. Like, there's an epidemic of women getting murdered in Mexico. And, like, you, You don't respect it. You don't care about it. You just use this as a shtick to be like, oh, well, it's the same thing with like the Danish girl. Whenever a trans role comes up, you know, a lot of actors maybe a couple years ago were like, oh, I want to play this role because, you know, it's prestigious. It's going to be like an award-winning role. Well, this is what the fuck he did with this. Yeah, let me do something dark and gritty, and that's going to get me awards. But let's do this, and let's put that in there. And it was just like a fucking pot of mess that he didn't understand anything about. He doesn't understand trans people. He doesn't understand Mexico. Is there anything he does understand? Because he should stick to that.
Also, Emilia travels to Israel for her surgery. Israel has one clinic that does these surgeries. Mexico is ranked third in the world of gender assignment surgeries. And oh, I didn't know that. She traveled to the country that has one clinic.
Well, yeah, that's the problem. But I thought maybe because, like, in my head, the drug lords kind of, like, know of each other. So, like, she can't really go in Mexico maybe for safety so she can transition.
Sure.
Again, I'm fixing the movie for us, but
right.
That's why it made sense to me why she went far away. Israel, I didn't know that was the case, but just anywhere else.
I thought she went to Switzerland. Didn't they go to Switzerland for that?
That's where they sent Selena Gomez and the kids.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Okay. I figured Emilia was gonna go to another country to get what was the drug lord's name? I forgot.
Manitas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when he died, therefore she needed to get away from there to get. And also the plot point of like her missing her kids. I get that. Like that's hard. Yeah. She had to. And I was like, ooh, girl, this is not gonna work out. Like I know you miss them so much, but you're. It was hard because I want to be like. You're dead to them and they need to be dead to you. At the same time, like you missed them. Like that was,
yeah.
That was really rough. And again, this would have been a really interesting plot point in a better directed written movie.
You know what? Speaking of the kids, you know what's one of the things that like really, again, let's go back to the offensiveness of this fucking movie. When the kid is like, yeah, my dad, he used to smell like guacamole. And some other fucking food. And I was like, bitch.
And gasoline.
And gasolina. Like,
man,
who's writing? Is the kid writing?
Daddy Yankee's song is playing in the background. That's why it was. You should have said, my daddy smells like Fabulosa. That's what you should have said. That would have been amazing.
I was like, so, like, you could not be more, you know, a stereotype of a Mexican from a white perspective, then my dad smelled like guacamole and gasolina. Like, are you fucking stupid? I can't with this fucking movie.
Also, I have a question because, like I said, I don't know. when someone transitions, do they still smell like what they did before? Like, I would think that they wouldn't, but I don't know.
A lot of your smell comes from like your hormones. So like Obviously you have different hormones and you're taking in different kinds of hormones. It's highly unlikely that you still smell the same.
Okay. Because I thought I understand what they're trying to do. Like, oh, you remind me of my dad or whatever. But I was like, smell? I feel like that would be different. And I was very confused. Okay, I just wanted to ask.
Yeah. From what I read, that's not normal. And also, like, the thing with her, Emilia, like, opening up her shirt and, like, essentially flashing Zoe Saldana being used as, like, a jump scare. Like, hello, I thought you were trying to, like, do trans representation, not show trans people as, like, scary. So, like, why would you present it that way? The way that that was directed was just, like, again, more offensive.
Yeah. One thing I did like, I liked the lighting switch at dinner when Zoe Saldana realizes it's Emilia.
Mm-hmm.
They're talking and it hits and the light switch. I was like, that was a cool moment. I dig that.
Yeah, for the light switch, they turn it off.
I love that.
Shout out to electricity company.
This is me like grasping for straws. I'm like, I need something that I don't absolutely Same. Despise.
For me, I like Zoe Saldana. I understand why some people don't, but I love her for so long, and I'm really happy she's getting recognition. I hate that it's for this movie though.
Mm-hmm. No, I love her.
But I think she's really great, and even though, what was the one? Oh my God, it's nominated. It's the one she sings in the, thank you, yes. I was like, oh, okay, I like this beat. I get it. But I do, I was like, okay, all right, it's enough. maybe I just like the idea of her saying, like, you're gonna pay. Like, everyone here is gonna pay. I liked that. I liked the, like, the angry woman of it all. Mm-hmm. But that was really it. That's, I wouldn't listen to it on repeat or probably ever again, but. Because I was going to rewatch this. Because I saw it last month, and I was, or 2 months ago at this point, and I was going to rewatch it for the podcast. But every time I turned on Netflix, I just couldn't do it. So I was like, I'm just going to watch Dairy Girls instead.
Yay! I love Dairy Girls.
I love Dairy Girls. They added a behind the scenes making of the movie, and I was like, oh, I'll watch that after I finish the movie. Okay. And then I could not do it. I was like, I do not need to watch any more of this. Also, what the fuck was up with those eyebrows they had on Zoe Saldana?
Oh my God. I was
they were so same bad. Fucking thing.
It was like caterpillars. It was like worse than Eyebrows Bitch from Paris. Like, it was so bad. I don't know what it is with Netflix and like eyebrows, but they gotta get their shit together. Makeup and hairstyling? I don't fucking think so. Who's
I don't think lazy so either. Ass?
Excuse me.
Fuck? I think it's nominated for a pre-transition because they're like, ooh, the Still. Makeup. That's what I think it's for. I don't agree with it, but that's what I think it's for.
Just bad. Just lazy. Okay, back to the one positive thing, the lighting. Okay, yes. I do understand that it's extremely stylistic and it has like very specific lighting. I do think the nighttime lighting was good. I think they did a good job of like lighting up the streets at night and like the neon and the like really warm lighting and then the real cool lighting. But I do have to say it also had the like Mexico filter on it in some points where it was like just orange. I was like, come on, you were doing so good in these first couple of scenes and then you just go like, we're in Mexico and now it's orange.
That's how you make France look like Mexico.
I can't.
Am I wrong?
You know what? I will give them one small point of authenticity because like in that first song where they're like kind of establishing the environment, whatever, and the advertisement coming down the street is the colchones, refrigeradores, estufas. Like I fuck it. As soon as that came on, I was like, oh my God. Did they take that actually from Mexico? Because, like, when I think of home, I'm like, oh, my God, yeah, the person on the speaker trying to sell stuff out of the back of the truck. That was the only time that I was like, how did you know that that was real if you didn't research Mexico? How would you know? But then it opened with three guys in, like, lit-up mariachi suits. Like, it just blows my mind.
Although I will say the little mariachis are kind of cool. Like, I forgot that happened until you just said it.
Out of context,
come to my birthday party. I love them.
Out of context, super cool. But within what they were trying to do,
rude. No.
Go ahead.
So a Mexican trans director, Camila Aurora Gonzalez, made a film in response to this, a short
yes!
film.
Yes!
Yes! Called Johan Sacre Bleu.
Yeah.
And it is basically just a riff on French stereotypes.
Yes.
And it got more views and more money than Emilia Perez did in Mexico in like, I think it said within 24 hours.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Which I love that.
Girl, I watched parts of it and I was like, she's an heiress to like, a croissant empire. And then her love interest is like an heir to a baguette empire. So like they the literally scandal. there's pictures where they're like they have rats hanging all over that.
That's beautiful. We should have talked about that movie instead.
Exactly. Everyone's wearing berets and red scarves and striped shirts.
Oh my God, that was me one Halloween, remember?
That was, yeah. You were French lady. Oh, you know what? Maybe they made this movie because of that.
Maybe.
How did he know? That's, oh my God.
That's fantastic. Our Instagram post went viral.
Only in France, though, nowhere else.
Only in France.
Me as my awkward Mary Berry.
Mary Berry. Oh my God. Yeah, that Mary was cute. Bear. What a cute wig. What was I going to say? Oh, and then there's this. So Cinepolis is the biggest movie theater company in Mexico. So when this came out in Mexico, people were like horrified because it was terrible. And the majority of people hated it and either walked out or wanted their money back. And then they a group of people sued to get their money back. And now Cinepolis is granting everyone who didn't want to watch, who wanted a refund on Emilio Perez, everybody gets their money back. The government had to get involved.
The government got involved. That's amazing.
Bro, like Mexico does not play about Mexico. Get you your money back. Get your money back. Get your money back. Yeah, because what a waste of like time. I was talking to my cousin about it because she lives in Monterrey. And she was like, this is a joke. Like, this cannot be real. They cannot really be giving this awards. She was like, what is happening? What is this?
Like, not only is it bad, but like when you think of Netflix movie, this is the kind of movie you think of. It's not really great, kind of like middle of the road, not that really exciting. You put it on the background because like maybe it has like nice colors or something. You actually take it seriously. Like, but this accidentally became a contender and I don't understand why.
I don't understand.
Like,
because
just
there
was a Hallmark movie at this point I thought you were going to do. Like, what?
You know that in one of the, I think the Best Actress Roundtable with like Zoe Saldana and Zendaya and Demi Moore and Nicole Kidman and a bunch of other people. I think that's the one where she was saying, well, I was really looking for, you know, something like this. And I sat down and I wrote a list of directors I wanted to work with. And Jacques Aldard was on there. And I was like, girl, what movie has he made? I don't know what any movies that he's made.
Let me look it up.
I did look it up and I was like, I don't know any of these.
Isn't her husband French? Maybe she knows, like,
maybe
that part of
is.
It, you know? Yeah, I think her husband's French.
Okay, well, that explains it. But, girl, like, this is, you conceded to work with this man for a movie like this? Like, really? Of all the things, I don't understand. I don't know if it's because, like, Hollywood lives in such a bubble that they're like, oh yeah, they just have all these yes people around them. They're like, this is going to be great. This is so interesting and so out of the box and so creative. And like, they just don't understand. I don't know.
Yeah, it's baffling how far this film has gotten. And
honestly,
I'm hoping now with the revealing of Carla, Carla Sofia Gascon's tweets. This is going to start, you know, going down a little bit.
Listen.
In the predictions.
Yeah. So let's talk about this bitch, shall we? Okay. So I think she has since deleted her account.
She did.
But I remember I read the one about her comparing the criticism of Emilio Perez to the Jews in concentration camps.
Oh my God.
And I read that, like, not that long ago, and I thought, is this for real? I was like, I know my Spanish isn't that great, and, like, so I'm like, let me make sure I'm reading what I'm reading correctly, because I thought maybe, like, I just read it wrong. No! Google told me, and I was like, oh, no. And I was like, this is still up, so apparently I looked it up, I figured it out. But she had actually tweeted that, and then she got community noted. She deleted it. And a day later, proceeded to tweet the exact same thing verbatim again.
Shut up.
I was like, oh, okay, so she's doubling down. Got it. Okay. Got it. And so the stuff about the Discover tweets about the 2020 ceremony and with Dan and Kaluuya and, oh my God, I forgot her name, the grandma from Minati 1, the whole thing about it being like, what did she say? Something
stupid. The Afro-Korean festival.
Yeah. I don't know about that, but I just knew about the initial one that I saw that day. And I was like, I'm going to save this tweet so I can talk about it on the podcast. And then it just kept going,
I didn't even know about that tweet in particular. I knew about the 2021.
That was like last month, like not even that long ago, like a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, I read about the 2020. I read about a lot of anti-Muslim.
Islamophobia. Yeah.
And they unearthed a tweet of her talking shit about Selena Gomez.
Yes, they did.
Which we'll get to her. But like another thing I discovered was that AI was also used to help Carla's voice, singing voice, because she couldn't hit some of the notes. And so AI was helping with that. And I have a problem. We might be talking about this more when we talk with Brutalist, but like wasn't this what they were fighting for? Didn't Hollywood shut down for months?
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Like, I understand AI, like some of it is like helpful in other spaces maybe that I don't know of, but I think if you can't hit the notes of a musical, then don't be in a musical. Hello? Yeah.
Hello.
Like, I just think it's, and I, we should be celebrating the fact that a trans actress is nominated for Best Actress. That's a big deal.
Yeah.
That's a huge deal. And then she's Mexican, so she's representing our, well, no, she's Spanish.
No,
but
she's Spanish.
So she's, she's still representing our culture in a way. So, right. You know, she's still representing our culture in a way. So I feel like this should be a happy time. And the fact that it's not is so depressing.
Yeah.
I mean, like, she is European, so what did we expect in the long run? But, like, it's really...
I mean, not every European is terrible.
No, but she did work with a lot of French people.
I mean...
It's sad. It's sad.
You know?
Because there's other trans actors that have done amazing jobs in movies, like... I can't remember the name of the actress, but the Chilean film, I think it was a different woman that I saw a couple years ago that was nominated for Best International Feature. That was really great. And she did a beautiful job at that. There was, I didn't watch it, but there was Monica last year with another very famous trans actress whose name is escaping me right now, of course. But that was, you know, lauded in the critic circles. So like, what, it can't ever be like people of their community telling their stories. It always has to be like something different.
It kind of reminds me when we complained about Rami Malek and how Taron Egerton was so much better because that was a much more authentic performance.
Yeah.
And it's like Hollywood doesn't want the real stuff. They want the watered down stuff.
Yeah.
That's so... Not surprising, but it's still so disheartening. I hate it. We should be celebrating and we're not.
I know. It's really, really sad because I don't know, like, I know that, who was it? Entertainment Weekly or Variety or someone was, like, made an article about, like, within the rules, if it was all, like, legal for her to have said these things and if that,
no,
you know, like, right. But like, they're still going through like the rules and with the Academy and whatever. So they don't have like a final answer on that yet. But that's wild. You know, on the other hand, though, Hollywood gives 100,000,000,000 chances to other people who've been very inherently racist and only the trans actress gets canceled. So, you know, Mel Gibson's still out there doing movies. Woody Allen's still out there being a piece of shit, like, but no, the trans actress.
True, yes, but also, like, Mel Gibson is nowhere near the caliber he was. Oh, Woody Allen, yeah. People don't really want to work with him as much, so they're not, like, as top as they were.
Yeah.
It's just, like, I think it's so easy to make an example out of her.
Right.
You know?
Because she's in that position.
And I hate that, like, but also, what she did was wrong, what she said was wrong, like, it's, this whole just sucks, the whole thing sucks. Yeah. The movie and the situation.
Amen. Especially when we had such a beautiful film about the trans experience come out this year. I saw the TV glow. The fact that it got no love anywhere and seemingly like disappeared into the ether is such a bummer. Last episode for Conclave, we were talking about supporting actress, and they identify as non-binary, but they played a femme presenting person in I Saw the TV Glow. Jack Haven, mm-hmm. I think, would have been a great nomination for supporting actress. I think Justin Smith would have been a great addition to Best Actor. I think mm-hmm. the director should have gotten Jane Schoenbrunn should have gotten directing and original screenplay. Like, this movie was so beautiful and so inventive that it took me like a couple of hours to come down from after I saw the movie. Because I was like, this was so otherworldly. It was so beautiful. And it was so well done. It was so thought-provoking. And nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Also, Jane Schoenbrunn had 16 original songs from her favorite bands for this film. So really? They could have replaced these original songs.
16? Wow, that's a lot.
That's yeah, the whole album is original music for nice. The film.
Mm.
Girl, anything could have been in here.
Yeah. The Monica movie, yeah. It was 2 years ago. It was Tracy Lissette. That's who it was. Tracy Lissette, and then Patricia Clarkson was playing her mother. So
Patricia Clarkson.
Oh, I know. So you know it's good.
Mother.
Literally. you know, okay. So on to the next one. Selena Gomez.
Okay. All right. Here we go.
I got a lot of words.
Go, you go first.
Okay, and again, let me, what is it, like a, not like a disclaimer or whatever, but yeah, kind
asterisk,
of
a, like a
asterisk star. Yeah, like okay, so I can understand someone not fully having a grasp on the language. Okay, I'll not everyone who is Latino or Hispanic or Mexican or whatever needs to speak Spanish. That's totally fine. It doesn't negate or change your culture or anything. You're welcome. It absolutely does not. You can be Latino and not speak Spanish. There's Latinos that are Brazilian. They speak Portuguese. So what's the difference? But she is an actor in a film. So I would expect just a little bit more initiative, a little bit more work to be put into it, because I will give props to Zoe Saldana. There were some points where she did sound more like a Dominican accent versus like a Mexican accent, but I did see her trying to like sound more Mexican versus sounding more Dominican, because those are two different like accents, dialects, whatever. But Selena Gomez, I think what it boils down to as I watch the movie throughout, she's so wooden and so stiff. And she has like zero chemistry with what are supposed to be her children, zero chemistry with Emilia pre-transition. Like there, she has no chemistry with anyone. Even who is it? Edgar Ramirez. The song where she's like, Selena's like having her moment. She's like, I want to be my own person. I want to love myself. Whatever that song. Like he's stealing the show. He's like acting his ass off, and he's like behind her. So an accent is one thing, but your acting is another thing. And I cannot believe she's gotten so many like nominations and like so much praise over this, because like, mm-hmm. I'm like, this was such a, I'm sure she worked really hard on this, but it felt so half-assed. It did not feel like she's really trying. It didn't feel like she was trying. Like it was like, I'm phoning it in. Okay.
I tend to have slight sympathy for her because I myself am a no sabo kid, and they, you know, said before that they hate us. They pitchforks.
I don't hate
but
you.
But I think it, well, you what?
I don't hate you.
Okay, good, thanks. I myself am one. But I think, you know, what it came down to is what you said. It's about preparation. And she said so many times that, like, she did the best she could. She had to put a lot of work into it. Well, babe, it wasn't enough then. Your best was not enough. You were miscast, and you needed to not be in this movie. Again, I agree. You don't have to speak the language that's your culture born into. I understand that. Believe me, I get it. But what I don't understand is, like, if you didn't have time, like, honey, you're a billionaire. You have resources that mm-hmm. a lot of people don't have to get the training you need to do this. Yet you still didn't do it. then you are the problem. And yep. I don't watch Only Murders, and I actually didn't, I don't really know her as an actress really, other than like Waverly Place, which I don't really think I watched that much either. So I don't really know much about her other than like her singing voice, which is not that great either. But I think like you just, maybe she's just a better comedian. Maybe she's just a better mm-hmm. actress in other ways. You know, like everyone's, you know, like who's we talked about before, how like not everyone is a, what's like a Renaissance like actor. Oh my God.
A triple threat.
Like a character actor. Not everyone is a character
oh,
actor.
Oh, uh-huh.
Most actors okay. are not. They find their niche, they stay there, the lane, and they don't go any further. Mm-hmm. Selena Gomez maybe thought she was, and babes, now she's not. She did it, and now she knows. Let's move on. I just think, like, it just wasn't enough. You're good. Your best, if this was your best, then it was not enough, and I am so sorry. And that maybe boils down to the casting. The mm-hmm. director mm-hmm. should have said, this isn't working, and I'm so sorry. Maybe because she's like a huge name in music, mm-hmm. it was maybe hard to say no to her. I think she may have been the producer, so that has something to do with it. But I think mm-hmm. it's just someone had to step back and say, this is not it. This isn't working. Because because even if she did sound, if she didn't sound like she was yelling "Hi Valyrian" out to, behind a green screen, her acting just, she wasn't believable. Like you said, she was wooden. She's just not great. So I'm sorry, girl. I don't want to be mean to you, but it just wasn't it. And then the stands, I hate stands so much. I hate the Gaga stands. I hate the Ariana stands. I hate the Beyonce stands, the Beehive, the Swifties, all the fuck. I don't care. They're so annoying. Like, your person is not the best singer in the world. They're not. I'm sorry. I'm a fan of most of those people I just said. They're not the best. They're not the best actress. Not the best. Like, everything they do is not the greatest thing in the world. You can't comment on anything about them on the internet because you are then trash. Like, nothing else matters. Like, I hate them so much. Anyways, sorry, girl.
I saw season one of Only Murders in the Building, and she's just, that's her. She's very wooden. At least in this film, she opened her mouth to speak. In Only Murders in the Building, it's like she's trying to, like, not move her mouth and not give any emotion. It's literally, like, bizarre how little she moves her mouth in that show. So it was pleasant to see her mouth like actually open and actually things coming out of it. I just find her voice, her speaking voice. And I'm not, I really don't like being a hater on this podcast and like droning on about people specifically.
Me neither. I'm sorry.
No. This is because her voice just gets on my nerves. It's very monotone. She doesn't have any inflection. Mm-hmm. She doesn't have any, like, passion. No. And, like, watching her in interviews and, like, her very slow way of speaking. Like, girl, we got things to do. Let's wrap this up.
Also, like, what a career choice for her to do. If this, like, she could never do theater. There's no way. She could not project, probably. Like, the people in the front row would be like, what did she say? Like, it just wouldn't work. Sorry.
It you know what's funny is that, like, she has those couple lines in English whenever she's asking Zoe Saldana, are you taking us back to the States? And, like, even then I was like, well, I believe you slightly more in English, but you're still very wooden, very hollow, very monotone. Very monotone. And, like, I just couldn't. I did not want to pay attention because she was just, like, so boring.
Yeah, and, like, I feel like there's... Sorry.
Go ahead.
I just feel like there's something wrong if the writer, the director has to write in twice for two different characters. Oh, yeah, I'm originally from the Dominican. I'm actually from America. To excuse your accent.
Poor accent. Because, look, like, we'll be the first people to say, like, whenever a British person tries to do an American accent, they do that weird mouth thing and it doesn't sound right. We call it out. And so, look, okay, so, like, I don't necessarily have, like, specific problems with, Latinos playing a different nationality of Latino that they not they that they are not, right. if they do it well. Because like I think of the example of Justina Machado was playing a Mexican woman in One Day at a Time. She's not Mexican.
But they were Cuban. Did it.
Yeah, that's no.
In the show they were Cuban, right?
Were they?
I think so. Because I think they escaped.
Well, she's not even Cuban. She's Moreno. Puerto Rican.
Okay, so yeah, but yeah.
So it's yeah, so it's a different nationality.
Still stands.
Yeah, a different nationality, a different culture. You can be Brazilian and play like Salvadorian. You can be like, I think within reason, it's possible, it's doable. But like, do it well. Don't do it poorly. Like, try.
try.
Put them effort. Do something.
I don't know. Do like, the job you're paid for. That's what I don't understand. Like, these people get paid a crazy amount of money and they're going to give us nothing. Like, that makes me so angry.
Right. Because, like, all the people. Okay. Think back to, like, when the writer strike, the actor strike was happening. Like, that group, that community of, like, Latinos that was, like, picketing every single day. And, like, their actors, I'm sure they would research for their job. I'm sure they would try, regardless if they did or didn't know Spanish.
Yeah.
They want to have jobs.
Like, I feel like, in like I said earlier, like, I feel like her and I are similar in the, like, the No Sabo Kid stuff. Like, I'm also a second generation, but I still don't know everything. I would do my research to make sure I knew what I was saying was correct. Like,
yeah.
Research isn't a weird thing to be doing. You need to do it for everything you're going to do. Like, it just makes you more informed. It makes you maybe understand the part better. When you're in interviews later to promote it, you are able to have an honest conversation. A more in-depth and, like, wider conversation. They're just like, oh, filming was fun. Filming was great. I love singing the songs. Like, that's so... No. No.
I think that also hurt her in the, like, musical aspect of it. Because I'm like, how are you a fucking singer and you can't fucking do this? Like, a singer in quotation marks. Sorry, singer in quotation marks.
That's her genre. It's just like quiet, like you said, like just her quiet, like not really exciting. It's the beat. If she has a song that's a bop, it's because the beat is doing the work, not her voice.
Yes, honestly,
and that's because fine.
Some of those
that's
are bops.
Thing.
That's fine.
That's beautiful. Love that for her. That does not translate to a movie where I'm supposed to believe you in love with this man or upset that your ex-husband left you. Like, what is this, like, community theater? Like, I don't understand. What is this?
Her crying in particular was really, really unbelievable. Oh, I did not believe her crying on the phone, crying at the other point. And at the multiple points that she was crying, I was like, bitch, I'm not an actor, but I'm sure I can cry better than that.
I was literally, my face, when she was when she was crying, I was like, cringing, like, oh, this is so, I don't want to watch this.
It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing that you're putting yourself out there like that. Like, you should be embarrassed that that's the work.
Are you
that
not
you're
embarrassed?
To the world.
That's what I was thinking. God.
Because I think her very, like, wooden monotoneness, like, the songs were already bad, but her wooden monotoneness made the songs worse. That song where she goes from her bedroom to the dance floor to her bedroom to the dance floor. I'm like, girl, one, I don't understand the words coming out of your mouth. Two, it doesn't sound great. Three, can you find the beat, please? God, like, you couldn't do anything. You're not on the rhythm. You're not on the beat. You can't fucking sing. You're dancing. You're going this way, that way. Like, and everyone else is, like, hardcore, like, dancing. Like, they're dancers. And you are giving us, like, 0 out of 10.
Way to, like, put the culture back, like, so many
years.
Yeah,
again.
You know what,
like,
I mean? Oh, my God.
Mexicans are not going to be able to have Mexican-American kids. Like, the actors trying to get through, like, they're not going to get anything. Yeah. Why? Because Selena Gomez ruined it.
Yikes. Like,
all you had to do. Sorry.
Go ahead.
All she had to do is turn down the role. Just turn down the road.
Or just say producer, if you really want to be part of it, put your money where your mouth is, babes, because that's where you can contribute your wallet. You're a rare beauty, put that money in there. You know what I mean? Like, her rare beauty because being what she was using when she was getting ready or something. If you really wanted to do that. But, like,
was it her makeup in the movie?
No. I'm just saying.
Oh, I was gonna say, holy shit.
That would be fucking stupid.
I'm just saying that if you wanted to be part of it, but, like, not acting, money, put your skincare products or whatever in there, something. But like,
oh my God. And this girl has $1 billion.
Yeah, she's a billionaire. I don't feel sorry for her. Well, I do and I don't.
I don't feel sorry for her wallet. Like, that's no.
But again, you speak fluent Spanish, Joy. So there's like a little, you're like on another different side of it. You know what I'm saying?
Well, like, fuck her for not trying harder. But also, like, I understand.
No, but she
like,
said she did. She said this is her best that she could do. And that's not great.
That's just unbelievable. That's just unbelievable. Because the amount of work that I know that, like, many, many other actors who try to make it big, who try to get in an Oscar mover and an Oscar movie, who are also Latinos and like can't get their fucking foot in the door. And this is your fucking best? Get the fuck out of here. No. No. Ugh. I can't. Okay. Oh, okay. All right. Are we done with Selena Gomez? Maybe I'm done with Selena Gomez.
No, I think we can move on. You're steering this. You're steering the ship right now. So go off.
All right. Next, Zoe Saldana. Okay. We're just going by person. I lost it. Zoe Saldana. Oh, I have a shot list. I have like 3 shots. Ooh. Amazing.
Compared to Conclave's like 60.
Like, yeah, and doing like every fucking frame. Yeah. Literally. Zoe Saldana. Because I watched the Actress Roundtable interview before I watched the film, I heard everything that she had to say about the film. So I was like, oh, this sounds exciting. Like, she got into dance, she got to speak her native language again. Like, that sounds very promising. And then I see the fucking dancing that she's doing in the movie. And I'm like, girl, auditions for So You Think You Can Dance can do better than all the dancing in this movie, than any of the dancing you did in this movie.
There's like, no choreography. Like, she just did the dance. There's no choreography at all.
Are you serious?
No, I'm just saying. Like, that's what it feels like. I don't know.
Oh, my God.
It was like, very TikTok. It was very, like, upper body. You know, the levels were only
not
in
using the space, like the
space. They weren't changing their levels in their upper body, just more in their lower body. They're only in their upper body. Mm-hmm. Very TikTok-y.
Yeah. The dancing. Okay. Her big scene, the song El Mal, mm-hmm. like the
her
song.
Her red suit though. And that number.
Okay. The red suit. Good. The red suit. Good. The red suit. Nice. I need one. She looked amazing. I just don't get it. Like, everybody is like, oh my God, that's the scene, that's her like big scene. And then I was watching it and I was like, this. And okay, look, I went into this movie trying very, very hard to not let any preconceived Twitter notions, you know, cloud my judgment. I was like, I'm just gonna look at this like when we do our Oscar rewind, just the film and the time that it's in for what it's worth, just what's on film, that's it. And what's on film is not great. Like, that dance was so lackluster and like so haphazard and just like, I don't know, it was so disappointing. I'm gonna look up who the choreographer is.
Yeah, the last time Dancing on Tables was better was The Status Quo from High School Musical, the first one.
Listen.
Oh, no one has been able to stop that since.
Mm-mm. You're correct. You are correct.
Status quo.
I can't.
That's amazing.
I don't know. I feel like the lyrics too, I get her point. Like, I get what the song is trying to tell me, but the lyrics just also seem like very like Google Translate. Like, what does it mean to rob? Okay, translate it. Like,
yeah,
it didn't match the context necessarily. Like, the language didn't match. Like, if they had just one fucking writer from Mexico who knows Spanish, like just one, like like there's things like culturally that us as Americans will say, and that like they don't culturally say that in England, but we're both speaking English, and it just
I have a feeling this was written in French and then translated into Spanish.
Oh yeah, yeah. I don't know for sure, but I feel that in my heart. That's true.
Yeah, for sure. Because
it's kind of like back in the day when the pop songs of like the 90s were written by like Max Martin, who's Swedish, I believe, and he would write it in Swedish, and so then they would translate it to like English, and sometimes the phrasing was a little weird. And that's why. So that's kind of what that feels like. They just like, let me write out what I know, and then we'll just throw it out with something else, you know?
Yes, it was Spanish being spoken in a French way.
Yeah, it just didn't make sense. It just didn't. Oh, look, there was a choreographer.
There was. I only found the assistant choreographer. I've been looking.
Dance choreographer Damien Jallet. I'm sorry, assistant. Damien. I don't know you.
Assistant choreographer Sean Fitzgerald Ahern.
Assistant choreography, Gabriela Senya. Okay. Three of y'all. Did the director change things? Like, I'm gonna obviously blame a lot on the director, because he's the one steering the ship straight 100%. Into the fucking ocean, into an iceberg. Like,
to an iceberg.
Like, what's happening? Does he understand dance? Does he understand music? Does he understand Mexico? Does he understand trans people? Does he understand women?
The answer
women?
Is no to all of it, because he discovered trans people last week.
It's
he just... only knows of trans people in Mexico in theory, so he's just going to make a movie based on one of that. No it real feels... knowledge gained.
No, for real. It feels like... I mean, it feels like Vice. Like, I think it's a joke. Like, we're being punked.
Yikes.
But also, I think Vice... did research a little bit into those people. So.
No, it was they read the Wikipedia page, at least.
That's true. Okay, so Wikipedia is one step up from nothing.
Yeah.
I've heard of Mexico. That's what this is giving.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I went to a resort one time in Acapulco. And I met Mexicans there.
I can't remember.
It's literally what it sounds like. I can't. I have so many words.
I believe that I had the most nominations.
Right.
That's really wild to me. And it was one less than like the most nominated movies that like I think I remember.
Yeah.
The films that have the most nominations, 14, are All About Eve, Titanic, and La La Land. You tell me that Emily Perez belongs amongst those movies.
No.
That's the biggest joke you've ever told in your life.
It is embarrassing.
Yeah.
This is so.
So, yeah, it also sets the record for most nominations for a non-English language film, beating, get this, Roma.
Fuck you.
And
oh my God.
Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon.
Fuck them. Roma's an actual Mexican movie made by an actual Mexican.
And Crouching Tiger is a phenomenal film. So,
yeah, Crouching Tiger is like.
That's so offensive.
Oh, Crystal. Know,
yes.
How do you feel about the score?
What score? Babes, like, let me, no. Oof. No. 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 Also, Oppie got 13 nominations last year.
Yeah. There's no fucking way. There's no way.
So, every movie that I've mentioned that this Emily Perez is supposed to be next to are far superior. Like
Leaps and bounds.
Like galaxies apart.
I don't even know what to say anymore. I really don't.
So I watched this movie before Jacques Sacrebleu came out, and one of my notes was, how would the French people like if I made a straight French film about their culture that I know fuck all about, that I can't be bothered to answer questions in the language of the movie I'm making? Like, be serious, bitch. And then someone did it. I love her. What's her name? Carla, I think. Fucking amazing. Love her. Congrats.
No, I think it's really funny too.
Camila.
Camila, yes. Camila.
That was really funny is they're not going to do the where they perform the best songs at the ceremony.
That's so.
That is so funny. Like, that's the same thing. I'm just kidding. Was the best, so we'll just stop. But then it even makes it even worse because they're not gonna. Hilarious.
They can't even be bothered to just, I mean, defend your fucking film. I don't want to see
that anyway. That's fine. I don't
want to. No, I don't. But, like, at least defend your fucking film if this is the, although, this is, you know.
I do love to see a car crash, you know, like.
Live on TV.
Live on TV. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Make it interesting, I guess.
Wait, so there's going to be no original song performances?
No performances, no. They don't know. They didn't give a reason. Why. I think that's because, you know, every director for the ceremony wants to change things up, make it different. But I think they were just like, well, we can't be I'm Just Kidding, so we'll just not even try. I guess. I don't know. But yeah. They're not
gonna. God.
Because that was my fear. I was like, oh, my God, I'm going to have to hear one of these live on stage and I'm going to barf. But no, it's not going to happen. So I guess that's one good thing in all of this.
They should have at least taken, like, have someone else perform them in, like, a mashup.
But I guarantee you, here's what's going to happen next year. When whatever original song is for Wicked is nominated, they're going to bring it back and make them sing.
Yep.
I promise you it's going to happen. Sure. Yep. Yeah, because they're just like, this year, we'll just take it away for, like, you know, artistic differences in the ceremony. And they're going to bring it back, I promise you.
Mm-hmm. Sure,
I wouldn't be surprised if some for some reason, somehow, those two end up on stage performing this year anyhow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm sure. I think they just didn't want to have, like, the actual nominees. So, like, well, I don't know why the reason is, but they'll for sure get them because they were on the stage last year for the last Oscars, weren't they?
Yeah,
Ariana and Cynthia. Yeah,
yeah, they presented, didn't they?
I believe so. Yeah,
that's so dumb. That's so dumb. This whole movie. I'm just offended 100 times over.
Yeah,
I can't believe I watched this.
I can't believe it. Never again.
Yeah, that's enough. I will give my three shot list, I guess.
Okay,
go for it.
One of the shots, into the tunnel after Zoe Saldana gets caught. The lighting into the tunnel, the way that was shot, that was really nice. Not really nice. It was nice. let me be for real. I'm trying to find another one. Where did it go? The shot in the kitchen with the sunrise going across the room and Emilia walking in, I think that's after her first night that she spends with her girlfriend. That was really nice and peaceful.
Oh, yeah.
And that was a nice change of pace. Okay. That makes me even more upset because, like, you have trans representation and you have trans representation where she's dating another woman. Like, that's fucking monumental. And then it's for this movie.
Yeah.
I'm upset. And also because that other actress was really, really, comparatively to the three of them.
She was great.
Very good. Very genuine.
Probably the best, I would say.
Honestly. Let's nominate her instead of the three of them.
Yeah. And I love Zoe Saldana, but yeah, I agree.
She was beautiful, beautiful supporting role. But I would take everyone else out and put her in. It's the one nomination I'll give them. The tracking shot on the bike through the streets going up to the foundation, like that whole long shot was pretty cool. The shot of the teams getting the guns ready in a choreographed dance sort of way, and that last shot on Zoe Saldana's face.
I did like that too.
Yeah, that was interesting. They did do something. They did something.
It vaguely reminded me of the song She's So Heavy in Across the Universe, where they're like the military. Vaguely.
Yeah, but I can totally see that. So that's my three shots.
Is her girlfriend supposed to be the fourth woman mentioned in the synopsis?
I believe so.
Oh, interesting.
Because when I read that the first time, I was also like, Yes. The one good performance. Yes. The one person I could believe was Mexican.
Yeah.
Pretty much. She was really good. I forgot how good she was.
All right. I think that's enough yelling from me. If anyone else wants to yell a little bit more, I probably could yell more, but.
I do have an idea.
Mm-hmm. Name better musicals.
I could be here all day.
Literally anything. That's been literally anything. From the dawn of time.
Cats is a better musical.
That's saying
literally
something.
Anything.
Oh my god.
Any community theater performance of any musical you've ever seen is better than this. Okay.
I do have
my rendition
right
as a mother duck in Honk the Musical.
Yeah. Amazing. Me and Anna serving in Hairspray. Hello.
Hello, bitch. Award. Hello. Awards
me,
for both of you.
My award winning, and by award, I mean to give myself an award of a dinner plate and Beauty and the Beast. Hello.
Yes.
Hello.
Best supporting plate. Best supporting actress. Hello.
And I was best supporting wardrobe.
Hello. Oh,
hell yeah. Best supporting actress. You guys would have to compete against each other because you're so good.
That's fine. So she can win. I can win. We can win together.
Yeah. Your win's
her
way better
win
than
is our win. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
We break the crown and we share it.
Amazing. Yeah. Mean girl style.
Every time I watch that movie every year, right? It's whenever she breaks the crown, she throws it to that one of the girls. She's like, oh, that hairdo's have taken forever. I'm thinking, that hairdo? Okay.
Oh, really?
Really? My mean girl comes out a lot sometimes when I watch a movie. Anyways, continue.
I did have one more note, if anyone else has any more notes.
Go for it.
Okay, so because I had to watch the bastardization of my culture at once by watching this film, today I had to cleanse the palate and watch an actual Mexican film made by an actual Mexican director who has actual two Mexican actors in it.
Imagine
so
that.
I rewatched Y Tu Mamá También and fucking fell in love. Because I don't think that it really registered to me as like a preteen or a youth whenever I watched that. I know you haven't watched it. I think that you should. It's a journey. It's very interesting. I really love it. So if you want to watch a Mexican film by a Mexican director with Mexican actors, there is one Spanish lady in there as well. So, you know, a little bit for everybody. But Diego Luna and Gael García Bernal. Directed by Alfonso Cuarón, who did Roma, which is another
also,
beautiful Mexican film.
Yes, just gorgeous.
I would have also watched that too, but I wanted to watch something older that I hadn't. It was not fresh on my mind.
Right.
So it cleansed the palate, and now I've got to keep watching. Now I feel like I need to watch even more Mexican films in this time right now to like cover up the mistake
right.
of.
There is one Letterboxd. There's one Letterboxd review I read that was like, I almost feel like I want to add a star to every review I've ever given so I can like even things out. I don't know who that was. I didn't save it, but it was.
I think I have to go remove a star from my initial review because my initial review, I was like, okay, that was weird and rude. Yeah, but
like,
I guess.
High. Like, what is happening?
Yeah, like, I feel like that must have been some bad drugs. Bad drugs. That was not fun drugs. No,
my review literally says, what the fuck?
Because literally.
And I didn't give it a star rating because I was like, it's not worth it.
Yeah, fair enough.
So let's go through some of these 13 fucking nominations.
Heavy sigh.
We can save ourselves some time here and just say no across the board.
Yeah.
Amazing, Anna. What a great idea.
It doesn't deserve a single goddamn nomination.
No. Truly.
And for that, you are correct. You are very correct. The only nomination I would give is to Epifania. The actress' name is Adriana Paz. She should have been nominated in supporting because it was an actual supporting role and she was actually acting. She wasn't just fake crying or being a fucking robot.
Similar to what I said about Isabel Sorolini, like, is she the best actress or the only actress? That actress, like, maybe she was just doing, like, a normal job and everyone else is so bad around her that she looks so great. You know what I'm saying?
You know, that could be it, too. But
not
I don't
miss her because she was the only good thing in the movie, but.
Yeah, she was great. I really was feeling for her, like, what a crazy situation to be in.
Her entire, like, uneasiness about, like, is he here? Like, you can just the way she says that, like, oh, there's so much weight to those words that she's saying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was one of the only highlights from there. It was just whenever she was on screen, I was like, oh, this is a good time. This is good.
Yeah, I will say that being nominated for Best Adapted Screenplay is the funniest joke I've ever heard.
Literally. That means we can write something in English and just translate it to French and have an award-winning film. We should. Let's get on that. That'll be our presentation for us tonight. Cinematography. Can I just talk about what a fucking joke this is? It is. I did have three shots, right? But it's the most cinematography, not the best cinematography. There's a lot of the things they were doing with the cinematography. Too much. Way too much, in my opinion. Just too much going on. Just learn how to edit. Learn how to use anything other than, I mean, you know how to use the non-Mexico filter, so fucking use it. But other than that, like, film editing, there was a lot. The most editing. Makeup and hairstyling, why? Original score, the original song, bitch,
I guess we're going to the categories, okay.
Sound, boo. Okay.
No. Okay, so more positive thing. Is there a movie you would, in the best picture, they would replace it with?
Challengers. Easy.
Okay.
Or
do you have one?
If we want to do like a one for one, we want to replace the
Emilia.
The bad representation for good representation, I'd say I Saw the TV Glow or Challengers.
Okay. Nice.
I'm going to go watch.
I haven't even seen I Saw the TV Glow, and I'm going to agree with you on that.
I would love for you all to watch it.
I know you told me to watch it when you first saw it, and it's on my list, but so many things happen. So, you know, who knows? Okay, friends. Well, our rankings. Jesus, we did it again. Same as last time.
It's going to be really hard.
Much like Anna said, we can all probably say in unison what number three is.
Yeah. One, two, three. Emilia Perez.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. No contest. Wow. No contest. The other two, I'm still going with Dune as my number one. Maybe I'll change my mind.
Same-sies. I'm in the Dune for right now. So Dune, right, Conclave, Emilia Perez. That's where I'm at right now.
Yep.
We all have the same list.
The same list. I
probably
wonder,
change next week because those top two are they're so good.
I know. I wonder with this group of nominations, what our final lists are going to look like. Because they're
weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like they're going to be weird. Because I have no idea how I'm going to feel about some of these. I haven't seen them, some of, obviously. Mm-hmm. But I don't even know where on the list they're going to be for me.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay, friends. That's it for us. I need to drink some tea because I did a lot of yelling. But that's enough yelling for today. Thanks for sticking around. If you bothered to stay till the end of this, because it was really just... that was something. But that was fun. Join us next time for our next Oscar nom. Follow us on the socials. Listen to us everywhere. Obviously, you're already listening. Thanks for listening. Okay, bye.
Bye.